With me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of it was called Alon Bakut. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him Ben-Yamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is, the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar. And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. And the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Paddan Aram. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so what happened in the last chapter? We've had a few people join Jacob's little family band. Now we have the inhabitants of Shechem that have joined, the young women and children. They have now joined to the household of Jacob. And so they so Jacob, recognizing, I believe, and again, this is a little bit perhaps conjectural, maybe not so much, having recognized before that his household had taken a step back from its former sanctification, that they have suffered some under some bad decisions and perhaps some worldliness, he calls that family together now, that and I believe now we have some Shechemites included in that, and he says what? Put away the strange gods and wash your clothes and be clean. And so, yeah, he's speaking to that wide and extended amount of people that are there. But notice that Jacob, it seems now, has risen up and is taking the lead. Whereas in the last chapter, we didn't see that at all. In fact, we saw just the opposite, where he waited to see what his sons would say before he gave comment. And so now it seems that Jacob has recognized that he was not doing his job as a leader and as a father. And so he rises up and he takes the initiative and he tells his family now to wash themselves, which is indicative of we are all together moving in a new direction. And then they're going to rise up, give him the strange gods, and they're going to move to a new location. They're going back, can I say it this way, back to the roots, back to times of greater faithfulness, back to places that hold remembrances of greater faithfulness. That'll preach. That will preach. So just think on that with me for a moment. The Lord tells him to rise up and go to Bethel, where I appeared to you at the first. Remember Bethel, Jacob? Remember when you thought you were all alone and then I appeared to you and I showed you the ladder and the angels of God ascending and descending upon that ladder, and you said to yourself, I thought I was abandoned, but no, this is the very house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And you took that little cruse of oil, which was about the only thing that you had, and you offered it up unto me for an offering. And you said that of anything else that you get, you'll give me a tenth. Remember those days, Jacob. And Jacob says, I remember. It's good stuff. It's really good. And so then Jacob takes his family. They wash themselves, which is indicative of their new spiritual direction. Jacob rises up, takes the lead as the leader of his family, says, give me your false gods. And he buries them under the oak in Shechem. And away they go. They're heading out. They've turned their back on idolatry, and they're heading back to the house of God, Bethel. That's what Bethel means. They get there. Notice what Jacob does. As soon as they arrive in Bethel, he names the place El Bethel. God appears to him and instructs him, reminds him of his name. Jacob, Jacob, remember, you are not Jacob anymore. You are no longer the supplanter. You are now Israel. You, the one who has had power with God. God had already named him that at Peniel, but Jacob, it seems, had let that fall into some sort of disrepair. And so the Lord brings it back to his current remembrance. Again, this is a time of renewal for Jacob and his family. It is a good time. Time when God calls him back to covenant, reminds him of his covenantal promises, brings him back to a place of former faithfulness, and sets his feet on that solid ground. So, then they're going to make their pass deeper into the land of promise. So they come from Shechem to Bethel, which is way, 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 way up in the north. Now they're going to head south. They're making their strike into the land of Canaan. They're trusting in the promises of God. Their direction proves it so. And so now they head south toward what is now today called Bethlehem, the house of bread. In those days it was called Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And I don't know if you've noticed all of this, but Moses reveals himself in the writer here by correcting all of the names. Back in those days it was called this, now it's called that. Back in those days it was called this, now it's called that, right? And what's the distance? Well, it's about 400 years, you know, give or take. It's about 400 years. Place names change over 400 years. And so Moses is apprising us of that. And so then, on the way then, Rachel is about to have her second son, Benjamin. But Rachel, well, remember it was Rachel that hid the gods in her skirt when they came out from Paddan Aram. We're not told if Rachel is still holding on to her idols or not. But we are hearing some things of Rachel that are not complimentary, not spiritual. And so in her travail, in bringing forth a son, notice that there is no mention of her committing herself unto the Lord, of her asking her husband to pray. Nothing of the sort. Instead, all there is this confession, "Son of my sorrow, Ben Oni." Which means what? It's all your fault. That's what it means. She's looking on her son, and she is choosing a name for him. And as her spirit is departing, there is no joy at all, because for Rachel it has always been about Rachel, it seems. And so she says, "You, Ben Oni, the son of my sorrow." Jacob, in his newfound faithfulness, will not allow that to stand. And so he replaces that name with Ben Yamin. And Yamin means the right-hand side. And so we understand that the word Benjamin means the son of my right hand, or the son of my strength, the son of my right-handedness, if you will. And so that's what Jacob names him. And Rachel is buried. They set up the pillar upon her grave. Oh, I wanted to translate one particular word for you. Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Alon Bakut. And Alon Bakut means the oak of weeping. And so we see that Jacob, he's got a tender side to him. Okay, so they bury Rachel, and he sets up the pillar, and then they travel toward Edar, and then we have this terrible, terrible situation with Reuben. And Reuben, he goes up to his father's bed. And so Reuben will forever, forever lose the birthright. Remember, Reuben was the firstborn. And yet when Jacob will give the blessing later, he will say, "Reuben, the beginning of my strength, you are unstable as water." Simeon and Levi, while they would be next in line in the progeniture, what happens? Well, they've already given up their right to any primogeniture, because what they have done is they have been rapacious at Shechem. And so the lot falls then to Judah. Of course, it is out of Judah that our Lord arises. And we see then the providential dealings of God at work behind even these very human and, yes, even sinful acts of men. All right, so then there is the listing of all of the children of Jacob that were born to him in Paddan Aram. And then finally, the chapter closes with the death of Isaac and Esau and Jacob coming together in honor to bury the old patriarch who died at 180 years, full of days after having lived a long and blessed life. And that's the end of Genesis chapter 35. Let's stand and